Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Borgon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, and from triathlon to road riding. And today I'm talking the second time in this podcast to long distance athlete Jonas Deichmann. 6 months ago, we had the first conversation when he was planning the longest triathlon in the world once around the globe. And today, 6 months later, I'm catching up with him again while he's riding his bike through Turkey. What he experienced in the last 6 months and how he spent his Christmas time, you will find out in this episode of Pumped. Hey Jonas, super cool that we talk to each other again after half a year, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. So it's Christmas time.
Yeah, thanks to you also. Merry Christmas. It's been an exciting past 6 months.
The last time we talked in April, you were still preparing your huge triathlon. And where do I catch you now?
I'm currently in southern Turkey, so I'm done with the swimming part, and I'm now on the bike heading to the Pacific.
For the people who haven't heard the first podcast, can you explain briefly what are you doing exactly and why?
Sure. So I'm doing the first triathlon around the world and the longest. It's 120 times Ironman distance. So I set off in Munich in the end of September, and I cycled to the Croatian coast, and there I swam 460k along the Adriatic coast to Dubrovnik, and I did this. I do the whole trip unsupported, so I didn't have a boat with me. I tracked the raft with all my supplies behind me, and from Dubrovnik I jumped back on the bike and cycled via the Balkans now into Turkey. I'm now on my way to the Pacific to sail across to the US. Then I will run 5,000 km across the US to New York and sail across the Atlantic, and from there cycle back to Munich. I should be in end of summer.
That sounds really exhausting, and it's a super long trip. So how do you get the idea to do such a long trip?
So over the past 3 years, I have set cycling long distance world records. Mm-hmm. And I was simply ready for a change. I mean, I needed a new challenge. And I always dreamed of going around the world without an airplane. I mean, this is what you have to do as an adventurer. It's a big goal of everyone, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about ways how I could do that. And what hasn't been done before. And so I looked up the US. Okay, that's 5,000 km, which means like 120 marathons to run across. And I was looking, okay, can you put in the cycling and the swimming part into it? And so I came up with it. It's a kind of a very long dream for me.
Yeah, and it's a super long trip. So the last time we talked, you were setting up a trip to, I think it was Sweden, to get used to the swimming in the open water. And now you have already done the swimming part of your triathlon. And you told me that this is the difficult part for you, because you have run a long time and you have, as you said, you've done some cycling long distance world records, but the swimming was your, let's say, the weak spot. But how have you been in the swimming part?
Yes, the swimming was for me the by far toughest thing. I'm a very good cyclist and also a good runner, but I'm kind of an amateur swimmer. And I trained for this in the lakes in Sweden, and then I swam like the length of Lake Constance in summer. Mm-hmm. But if you swim across Lake Constance as preparation for the open open sea, That's like training in the flat with a tailwind for climbing a mountain pass.
Yeah.
It's just very different. So the swimming was like, most of the time it's horrible because you have very high waves and currents and it's cold. You're stung by jellyfish all the time and sometimes you're swimming backwards because the currents is much stronger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of really miserable in the water and also on land because you don't find that nice camping spots as you do on the bike. Mm-hmm. Because your radius is just very limited. So I don't think that swim packing has a bright future, but I'm happy I've done it. It was a great adventure.
So I've followed you on Instagram and you have posting an update every day from your swimming and it looked like a really, really hard, a hard thing to do. Can you remember one of the hardest situations during this swimming trip? What was the worst thing?
Well, the worst thing for me were the crossings. I mean, I tried to stick to the coast, but sometimes I had to cross over to an island or past a peninsula or something like that. And the longest stretches were like 6 or 7 K of open water swimming. Mm-hmm. And if the weather changes or there's a strong current, it's just horrible. And for me, however, the worst situation was one evening I miscalculated a crossing and I got into the dark. Mm-hmm. And when you are like on your own in the ocean and you are like 2K from the coast and it's dark and there's current and you're stung by jellyfish, that's like really way out of my comfort zone.
I think this is way out of everyone's comfort zone, so that sounds terrible to me, to be honest. But when you trained in Lake Constance or in Sweden and then you hop into an ocean or open water, you already told us there are so many differences to the lake. And then you have a 40 days swim ahead of you. What goes through your head on the first day of swimming?
Well, especially on the first few days, they were absolutely horrible because it was early October, so I was already in the. I know that like the weather is going to be worse the longer I continue, and the first week I had like horrible weather with like high waves and swimming against the current. I expected to swim like 13-14 K a day, and I was doing like 7 or 8. Sometimes I was swimming backward, basically.
Yeah.
And every night I didn't find any supplies because everything is closed. There are no tourists, there are no supermarkets and nothing. I slept on the rocks sometimes and like absolutely horrible. So then I really thought like, okay, this is super hardcore from day one. But what I did to stay motivated and keep going is like simply just think about a day. It's like, if I make it to the next supermarket, and they can get some supplies and life is looking better, and from there you go on to the next one. It's really like swimming is such slow progress that if you struggle against the current to make 100 meters and you think you have 400 left, that's like you can't think like that.
Yeah, so I know it from the biking when I'm doing long distance races or long distance rides for a couple of days, then the first 2 days the body is hurting and then it reacts to the situation and I think, yeah, then it's getting better every day. Is it the same with the swimming? Is your body getting used to the swimming part?
In the sense of my endurance and my muscles, yes. So I actually got much faster also in terms of my average speed. Mm-hmm. And in the end, from the endurance, I wasn't that tired after like 12K of swimming in the end, as I mm-hmm. was at the beginning. But the issue with swimming is that you have a lot of other problems, especially from like open wounds, from the like even traction from the wetsuit. or like when I cut myself somewhere on the feet from climbing over the rocks, then that's when you go into the salt water every day, it doesn't get better ever. Mm-hmm. You have the problems from day one, you still have on the last day. So it doesn't really, I mean, you get fitter in swimming, but in the end, I was also with my weight on the limit, because I was constantly cold, because I had lost my belly that I tried to get before. And it's swimming is just way harder than cycling.
Okay. And are you still on your schedule, or did it took so much longer than you thought?
No, I mean, the whole adventure is planned for around a year, but anyway, this is not a speed record. It's a big adventure and the longest triathlon. So I was around a week slower for the swimming part, which really doesn't matter on the total. But now in Turkey, I'm delayed because the border with Russia, I did not get the permit to cross the land border. Mm-hmm. So at the moment I'm a bit stuck here in Russia and have to solve some diplomatic things.
Okay. After the swimming, you switch to the bike, and now you already have a few kilometers in your legs. How are you doing now, mentally and physical?
Physically, I'm fine. I mean, I was going fast until around Istanbul, where I then. Figured out that I mean, I get a visa for Russia, but I can only fly in, not cross via land. So for the moment, I have a bit more time and take it a bit more chilled here in Turkey, because it may still take some time until I can continue. Mm-hmm. From that perspective, my body is absolutely fine, but to be honest, mentally it is super tough to just wait. Because if you have a target, like going on time, yeah. You have to be in 20 days in that country, and that's super easy because you are focused. But if you are waiting for a visa and the border opening, then it's just so much harder to focus mentally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for all of us, it was a really special Christmas with all this restriction and all that stuff. But how did you spend your Christmas time in Turkey?
Well, in Turkey, it's not celebrated, and there is also a lockdown here for a lot of days. Mm-hmm. So for me, Christmas was like every other day, basically. I cycled, and in the evening, I found a kind of döner restaurant and got some nice dinner and a cake. And then I found a nice sleeping spot, like a camping in an olive plantation. And I talked with my family via Skype, and then I slept. So that's it, basically.
That's Christmas, yeah. So especially on these days, do you ever miss your family?
Of course, I miss my family, but I'm also quite used to it. I mean, I moved out when I was 17, and I lived in like now more than 15 years. I lived all over the world, and it's not the first Christmas that I spent far from family. So yeah, I miss them, but it's also a bit routine and okay, simply also a part of the adventure.
So you're used to it. You're traveling with only the minimum of luggage, so that's why maybe the sound quality is not as good as our first interview when you were at home at your parents' house. But do you have any Christmassy lug in your luggage? So any Christmas hat or something where you celebrate a little bit the Christmas time?
No, absolutely nothing. I mean, I have a phone, so I listen to some Christmas songs, but that's really it.
Okay. So a lot of people, I've seen it on Instagram, a lot of people got your book From Cape to Cape as a Christmas present. And did you get anything for Christmas? And I don't mean anything, you know, but any little a surprise or anything good?
I got a lot of messages, also like video messages from friends, family, but also from people I don't know, from followers. So that was very nice. Mm-hmm. In terms of presents, my dad was pretty happy because he got a few presents from my sponsors to my address at his place. So he is eating all those presents now. But personally, I didn't.
So, how do the next weeks look like for you?
I'm heading further along the coast here in first on the Mediterranean coast to the east of Turkey, and from there I head north towards Georgia. So that's will be pretty nice. The next around 2,000 kilometers. It's warm and sunny here and beautiful beaches, and then it's getting slowly colder. Mm-hmm. Also already in Turkey.
Yeah. And in the planning of the whole trip, it was always not clear whether you can start the trip because of all the restriction and of COVID and all that stuff. But you managed it. But have you had any problems with the restrictions so far? I mean, you already said Russia is a problem, but did you have any other stuff before?
Well, the restrictions are different in every country, and I had to go around Greece because the border was closed, but that wasn't a problem. I went via Macedonia and Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the biggest challenge for me was that especially in Bulgaria, everything is closed, like restaurants, gas stations, cafes, everything is closed, and mm-hmm. it had like -5, -10 degrees. And when you are cycling at those temperatures, it kind of would be nice to have a warm coffee once a day, and you simply won't get it.
Yeah, so that sounds terrible.
But on the bright side also, I mean, here in Turkey is the exception, because in Turkey there is on the weekends there's lockdown for the local people, mm-hmm. but not for tourists, which is super strange. But it means I have zero traffic.
Okay.
I have basically the whole roads for myself.
Oh, this is great. It's safe, because in some countries it can be really difficult with this packed roads, right?
Yes, I mean, I cycled out of Istanbul, which is one of the biggest cities in the world, and there were no cars. I was on an 8-lane highway with no cars.
So that's a pretty cool situation. So
That was a great experience, definitely.
So, what could be still the biggest problem for you with the restrictions when you're moving further to the east?
I mean, within the countries, it's actually fine, because, if I have to go to quarantine at some place, then I go to quarantine, and mm-hmm. it's okay. The biggest challenge is getting across the land borders, because in most countries you can only fly in as a business traveler, but via land is super challenging. Mm-hmm. And of course,
not so many people travel in these times by bike to these countries, right?
Yes, of course. And there's also if I get into Russia now in Siberia, and I will be there in like February in eastern Siberia, that's super cold. Mm-hmm. And if I imagine, we had it in Germany and other countries that they closed the hotels. So imagine I'm cycling at -40 to Siberia and the hotels are closed. Mm-hmm. That will have like a massive impact on the journey. It will be way, way more challenging than I expected before.
Yeah, I bet. I've seen some pictures from you on Instagram riding through a small village in Turkey in pouring rain, and you were completely covered in mud. How did you dry your stuff and clean your stuff after those days?
It's super challenging. I mean, I clean my stuff usually at the gas station. Like the bike within the washing machine,
yeah.
And the only way to really get the things dry is by wearing them.
Okay, so that means you put on your wet stuff and trying to clean it to dry it on your body.
Exactly. I mean that's the only way. And I mean always be I take care that I have one dry set left for the night. So in the morning, if I sleep in the tent and my socks are wet from yesterday, mm-hmm. And my shoes, then I take the dry socks that I have in my tent. I take them off and I go into the wet ones because for the day. So I still spare dry ones.
And in this situation, when you put on your wet stuff from yesterday, which is not only wet, it's also dirty and muddy. How hard is it to stay motivated on days like these?
I mean, it's only the first moment that's like really not fun. But after 2 or 3 minutes on the bike, it's fine. You get used to it. It's really more this moment that you have to leave your tent and get the stuff on that you have to overcome.
Yeah. In a couple of days, a crazy year ends with a lot of difficulties and a lot of bad things happen. What do you wish for 2021?
Well, my biggest wish is that we get Corona under control, of course, and that things return to be a bit more normal. And on a personal scale, I mean, I just wish that I can, that borders will be open again and I can travel as before, normally across countries, because that would make my life so much easier.
And open hotels in Siberia.
And open hotels in Siberia, that would be nice too, yeah. But it's kind of the thing is, with my body, and if I have a challenge, it's under my control. I can influence it, mm-hmm. But with the pandemic and the borders and everything, the restrictions, it's so much out of your own control. You are like regulations change, and then you are stopped, and you can't do anything against it. So this is a very different situation.
Jonas, thanks a lot for your time, and I wish you all the best for the rest of the trip, and that and I definitely wish you open hotels in Siberia, definitely.
And yeah, thanks, that would be nice.
We will definitely talk again when you finish the bike ride and start running, and yeah, thanks for your time, and for all the people who likes to follow you, it's really cool to follow you on Instagram because you're really posting an update every day, and it's good to see what you're doing every day. And for the rest of the people, they can buy your book, Cape to Cape. I think it's available on Amazon, right?
And, yes, exactly.
I wish you a good slip into the 2021, and talk soon.
Yeah, thanks, and to you too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.